One of the things that I got to thinking about with this message, and as I thought about it, and I thought more about it even this morning, the songs that were sung, the things that were said, kind of confirmed this message today. And I told Pastor Tim about it, that I'd been working on it for about 6 months. But about 6 months ago, I told him, I said, God's really laying something on me. And I told him what it was all about, and he thought that that was kind of crazy. But that's cool. So we're going to dive into it. One of the questions that we ask each other a lot of times, especially my wife and I, when we're getting ready to go out, what are you wearing? Now, sometimes we do that because we want to make sure that one of us isn't overdressed. And the other one is, you know, like me, I'd probably dress like a slob anyway. But we ask that question, and sometimes it's because we don't want to clash with each other. We want to kind of match. And as I was thinking about that, a couple flashed into my mind. And I got to thinking about it, and y'all know them, Pee Wee and Helen Denton. When they go to church, they are color coordinated. I mean, they are to the T. You can tell that they are a couple when they go to church. And I don't know, many of you probably know about this. Helen was diagnosed with cancer, and it didn't look good. I don't know what the treatments are doing right now. I hadn't talked to Pee Wee this week, but need to keep her in our prayers and keep Pee-wee in prayer too, because I know it's got to be difficult on him. But when I think about them and the way they color coordinate, it cracks me up sometimes. You know, you're probably trying to figure out what this has to do with the church, and we're going to get into it. I trust me with this. Some of you have heard me preach before, and you know that my mind doesn't work like normal people, and I get kind of sidetracked, and I go off on this rabbit trail, but I'm going to try to stay focused today. There's a story that was written years ago by a man named Hans Christian Andersen, and it's titled "The Emperor's New Clothes." Now, in this, the emperor wanted a new set of clothes. He wanted clothes like nothing before, and he had all these different people come in, and they were telling him this and telling him that. But then there were these two guys that were kind of shady, I'll just say that. And they came in, they said, "We can make you a set of clothes that only the coolest people can appreciate. Only the people that really are with it are going to understand what you're wearing." And the guy said, "Hey, that's cool. Let's do that." And they made sure that they told him that only the coolest people, only those who know what's going on, are going to be able to see these clothes. So they come and they bring this empty hangar to him. And the emperor, not wanting to be uncool, he says, "Man, aren't those nice?" And he tries them on. Okay, there's nothing there. The emperor is walking around in his birthday suit, got these tried on. And they say, "Oh, this is wonderful." In his court, everyone there is saying, "Oh, look how marvelous he looks. Isn't he spectacular?" So it goes on in the story. It says, "So off went the emperor in a procession under his splendid canopy. Everyone in the streets and windows said, 'Oh, how fine the emperor's new clothes. Don't they fit him to perfection? And see his long train.' Nobody would confess he couldn't see anything, for it would prove them either unfit for his position or a fool. No costume the emperor had worn before was ever such a complete success. The emperor had been duped by a couple of liars, and he is out now parading in his new clothes, not necessarily unaware of his predicament, but embarrassed, or too embarrassed maybe, or unwilling to admit that he wasn't cool. But what happens next brings everything to a head. You see, as he's parading around, we hear this. "But he hasn't got anything on," a little child said. "Did you ever hear such innocent prattle?" said his father. And one person whispered to another what the child had said. He said, "He hasn't anything on." The child says he hasn't anything on. "But he hasn't got anything on," the whole town cried out at last. The emperor had been exposed. The little child was not fooled. His dad tried to quiet him, and the crowd did too. But others finally took up the observation of what was going on. The emperor shivered, for he suspected that they were right. But he thought, this procession has got to go on. So he walked more proudly than ever. His noblemen held high the train that wasn't there at all. He'd come to the realization of his own nakedness. But he couldn't stop now. He couldn't admit that he'd been fooled. He couldn't go back. So he continued on parading as if nothing happened. And the sad thing is, he took others with him. So what's that have to do with us? In Matthew, we read these words. Matthew, the 16th chapter, it says this, "And Jesus answered, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" He had just been asking the people, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're this prophet or that prophet." But then he narrows it down. He says, "All right, who do you say that I am?" They say, "You're the Christ." Peter says this, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, "Because of that, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The church was built on that rock. It was built on that statement that Jesus is the anointed Messiah. "You're the Messiah," he said, "the Son of God." That church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against is the same church that is here today. I heard a pastor a long time ago talk about the gates of hell. And what he talked about was that gates are not offensive weapons. Gates are used for two purposes, to keep something out or to keep something in. But Jesus said the gates cannot prevail against this church. And the reason because of that, or the reason for that, is this, that Jesus told us how he was going to build that church. He said in John 14:26 that we are going to be taught by the Holy Spirit. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you." You see, the church is going to be established not only on the statement that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but there is a Holy Spirit that is going to come and it's going to begin to teach us so that we understand what the Word is saying and that we understand who we are as that church. But it's not only that. In Acts 1:8, it says we're going to be empowered by that Spirit. I love this passage of Scripture. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, not only is the Spirit going to teach you, the Spirit is going to empower you to do the things that the church is supposed to be doing, to be that church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to be here for. And he says, it's all going to happen. And that's who you're going to be in the world today. Now, he was talking to a small group of people at that time. But those words echoed down through the centuries to today. And he tells you as the church, this is who you are. And this is what's going to happen. And you will be witnesses to me. Now, we may not go to Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria, but we definitely are in the uttermost parts of the earth. Nobody had ever heard of St. Elmo, Illinois back then. But here we are. And God says, you're going to be my witness here. And I'm going to empower you to do that. I want to make sure you know how to do that. Because I'm going to teach you. And he says that I'm going to dress you up as the church. In Galatians 3:27, as many of you are baptized in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. I was reading this morning about how the church spread and went to Galatia, and they were first called Christians, or to Antioch, and they were first called Christians there. That means we are a representation of Christ. When people look at us, they should see Christ. They shouldn't see who we are, the things that we were. They should see Christ in us and through us. And that's how we've put on Christ. And as we do that, we put on the armor of light in Romans, the 13th chapter. It says, night is nearly over and daylight is near, so let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, and let us walk in decency, not carousing or in drunkenness or in sexual impurity or promiscuity or in quarreling or in jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no plans to satisfy fleshly desires. We put on that armor of light. In Colossians, it tells us we put on a new self, that we are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of our Creator. And in 2 Corinthians, it says, if anyone is in Christ, this is out of the Amplified Version of the Bible, it says, that is grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as Savior. He is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. And behold, new things have come because of the spiritual awakening brings new life. This is who the church is today. This is what we should be when we go out into the world today. We are the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have the armor of light on. And don't forget, the whole armor of God, we got to put that on too. I think that sometimes we go out and we're not wearing the whole armor. Sometimes I think we get up and we leave that shield at home, and pretty soon the enemy is hitting us from all directions. And sometimes maybe we forget to put on the truth, and we go out and we exaggerate a little bit, or we stretch things a little bit. And we need to put on that truth and know the truth who will set us free. Sometimes we forget to take the gospel out. We leave our shoes at home. Sometimes we forget the helmet of salvation. Sometimes the enemy convinces us we're not saved. I want to tell you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the enemy's going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. We're going to get into that in a minute. But put on that whole armor as you go into the world. And make sure you got the sword with you. And keep that sword sharp. By the way you do that is you read that word every day. You study that word. You ask God to show you that word. Remember, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you the things. You ask the Holy Spirit to come and show me what this passage of Scripture means, because I am so confused over it. And you know what He'll do? He'll come and teach you, because He wants you to be the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That's who we're supposed to be in the world today. But you know, the enemy that we have, he's done a good job. He's done a real good job. Now, he's lied to us and he's done everything he can. But he's done a good job. In John 10:10, it says that he came to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us as the church. In Genesis, we see how he started doing that way back in the very beginning. He convinced Eve that the fruit that God says not to eat was okay. She said, God said, don't eat it, don't even touch it. He said, oh, come on, you know that if when you do, you're going to be just like God. And don't you want to be just like God? He didn't cause Eve to do anything other than this, to doubt God's word. And he's done that through the centuries. He's caused us as the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against to doubt his word. He's caused us to think maybe it's not what it's supposed to be. Maybe we're not supposed to do this. And then he'll get us on that kick. Oh, you don't want that old stuff. That's old-fashioned. That was written way long ago. This is 21st century. I don't even know what century I'm in anymore. I've been around so long. I am right, though, right? 21st century? Okay. Pastor agrees with me, so that's good. This stuff's old-fashioned. You don't want that. You don't want that Holy Spirit teaching you things. I'll talk to you. I'll show you these things. And you get people standing behind pulpits doing the very same thing, saying the same words. You know, that's old. We don't do that anymore. This is the new thing. This is the new generation. We're all here, and we're going to do it our way. And we try to rewrite Scripture. And I saw something not too long ago. It says it doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. And I believe that. I believe as the church we need to reread that Scripture. But you don't want that because I got something better for you. You're going to be just like God if you do this. You don't have to believe everything you read in the Bible is what the enemy is telling us. Just look at what the group down the road's doing. Look how cool they are. Don't you want to be just like them? Don't you want to be just like that church down the road? I mean, look at the parking lot. It's full. Look at all the people going in. They must be doing something good down there. And maybe they are. Maybe they're doing what God wants. I think that sometimes we let too much world into the church. And I think when we do that, we fail. We use a lot of smoke and mirrors to confuse people into believing everything we say. I mean, after all, that's what all the cool people are doing these days, right? You want to be cool, don't you? I got this new set of clothes that I want you to put on. And I want you to go out into the world and parade around in these clothes instead of that old junk that's out there. What happens is we sacrifice holiness on the altar of popularity. We walk away from the holiness of God. And the reason is because in 2 Corinthians, it says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Because of the way the enemy has us behaving as the church, people are blinded. And they don't understand that you have to be holy to stand before God. Holiness is required. But you don't want that old stuff. You don't want all that junk. Let's just be cool. And we'll get a pep talk every Sunday morning. We'll sing a few uplifting things, and we'll pretend that we're doing this. Just like the emperor gets exposed. That childlike faith comes in. And we see what the Word of God actually says. And it changes us, hopefully. Jesus told us in Matthew 18, he said, unless you are converted and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith. Childlike, not childish. Sometimes we can be a lot childish and not childlike. I remember when Jacob was growing up, little bitty thing. Everywhere we went, he wanted to hold my hand because he knew he was safe. As long as he had a hold of Daddy's hand, he was safe. He had faith to believe that I was going to be able to stand up against whatever happened. We go to Walmart, and he'd want to ride in that cart, but he had his hands on my hands. Except one time, the power went off. After that, he was trying to climb out of that thing. And every time after that, he had one hand on mine, he had one hand on his flashlight, because he wasn't going to be in the dark no more. Next time you see him, remind him of that. He's a little bigger than that now. But he knew that he was safe. When our children look at us, they know that we're going to be there for them. Hopefully they feel that way. When we look to God, we need to know that he's going to be there for us, no matter how bad a situation may be. We need to look at what's truly there. And in the Word of God, as we read that, we're going to see what is truly there, that we are the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That we are the ones who are led, empowered, and taught by the Holy Spirit. And just like the child, when he spoke out, there's going to be folks that are going to come against that. Oh, listen to that old stuff. Listen to the innocent prattle of a child. They don't know anything. They don't understand. This is the way we are today. But then it keeps going and it keeps being said and repeated over and over and over. But then there's those that are going to stand against it. You see, in Matthew 19, children were brought to Jesus that he might put hands on them and pray. But what did the disciples do? They rebuked them. To get those kids away from him, he doesn't have time to mess with them. I want to tell you what, God got time to mess with kids. He's got time to mess with adults too. He's got time to be there for us. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said this to them, leave the children alone and don't try to keep them from coming to me. Because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like that. The innocent little child that cried out against the emperor was told to shut up. I think that happens a lot in the church today. When we see what the Word of God says and tells who we are supposed to be as the church, and we try to take that stand, there are going to be people that are going to resist. There are going to be people that are going to stand against that, and they're going to say, just be quiet. Don't you know that we're cool? Don't you know who we are? Yet we cry out even more and we cry out even more because we know what the Word of God says. And we speak up. And pretty soon, one voice becomes two. Two becomes four and it keeps going. I'm not going to try to multiply any more than that. And we realize where we're at. That we are parading around without any clothes on. We don't have the Holy Spirit teaching us, empowering us, guiding us. We don't have the armor of light on, the whole armor of God. We don't even have Christ on anymore because the enemy did his job. And someone has cried out against that. And we come to a crossroad. What are we going to do from here? What are we going to do? In Jeremiah it says, they dressed the wound of my people as though that was not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down, and I will punish them, says the Lord. Just like the king, the emperor, he was brought to a realization. I don't have anything on. I don't have what I need. He was at a crossroad. And he went on and treated it like it was nothing serious. He treated it as though, I've come this far, I might as well keep going. I have to keep going. I can't turn back now. I can't do anything else. I have to keep going. Because to turn back will admit that I was wrong in what I was doing. We might get to that point and we realize where we are. And we might even shudder at the thought. But I want to tell you, we can't keep going on without the Holy Spirit in the church. I've seen it too many times. A decision has to be made. Again in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your soul. We need to ask for that old path. And I'm not talking about stained glass window and hard pews. I'm so glad we got away from them hard pews. I went to a camp meeting one time. There was that rabbit trail. I knew it was going to happen. I went to a camp meeting one time and they had these benches that were made with two boards. And if you sat down just right, they'd go down together. But if you didn't, one would go a little lower than the next. Then when you went to stand up, it bites you. And there was a lot of shouting going on in that camp meeting. I'm not so certain it was the Holy Spirit that was moving it. We may shudder at the thought that we've lost what we were. That we aren't the gates of hell, or the church, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But the gates have us fenced in. Or they're keeping something away from us. And that's the power of God. One thing I know that we can do as the church is we can stomp those gates down. And we can be that church if we make the right decision. If we realize that it is serious and we don't say peace, peace, because it's not so bad. But we say, I want that old path. I want that faith that the church had. I want the power of the Holy Ghost coming into the church today like the church had. Not just in the first century, but in centuries even following that. How the Holy Spirit would move in power. That's what I want. Not only as a congregation, but I want it in my life. I want to know that I have Holy Ghost power when I go into the world. Because I know the world is going to do everything it can to beat me down. And I know that the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop me. But I want you to know, and I want you to take this stand today, that I am not going to let that happen anymore. I want that old path. I want the Holy Ghost to come, and I want the Holy Ghost to empower me to where I can face the world. I can face the giants that are out there. And I don't want the Holy Ghost that makes me just sing and dance and shout. I want the Holy Ghost that's going to give me holiness in this world today. Because any other thing is not the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost that's going to teach me to live a holy life. And if we ask that as the church today, we are going to go out of these doors in power. And the St. Elmo is not going to know what hit him. St. Elmo needs to be hit. It needs that Holy Ghost 2x4 to come down on it. It needs us to go out as the church and be the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. You'll find rest for your souls, he says. But here's the thing, and this is the kicker on all this. Just like the emperor, Jeremiah is telling the children of Israel, this is what you got to do. And he says, but you said, we won't walk in it. We're not going to do it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. We've come this far without it, we're going to keep going. We've come this far, and we're going to quit. We're not going to quit, we're going to keep going as if nothing ever changed. Church, it's changed. We have a decision to make today. We know something's missing. Maybe you're sitting there today, I don't know. Maybe you're sitting there right now thinking there's something missing. You are. I'll tell you what it is. We've forgotten the Holy Spirit. We've forgotten to walk in that power. I've forgotten how to do it, even, because it's been so long. But we have that decision to make right now. We do. We're going to keep parading around as if nothing happened. Or we're going to realize how naked we really are as the church. You know, in many cases, Christians have left those old paths. We want a Burger King style of church. We're going to have it our way. It's going to be my way, or I'm hitting the highway. If I don't like what the pastor says, I'm moving on. If you don't entertain me, I don't want to be here. That's not what church is all about. These guys up here, as great as they are as musicians, they're not here to entertain the crowd. They're here to lead us to the throne so that we can hear from God. Y'all do a good job. I love this group here. But if we're here to be entertained, we're parading around naked. We're here for the audience of one, which is God. We are fully clothed in everything that He has for us. This world cannot, it can't take us. They don't know how to understand us. We need to take back what the enemy of our souls has stolen from us. How do you do that? In Acts 19, we're going to close this thing out here. Come across a group of people and they ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they told them, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism were you baptized with? They asked. With John's baptism, they replied. And Paul said, John baptized you with the baptism of repentance, telling people that they should believe on the one who will come after him, and that is Jesus. John said this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I'm not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to say this today. You can't leave this place saying, I've never heard that there's such thing as the Holy Spirit. Because you've heard. The choice is whether you want to walk in that. The choice is whether you want to receive that. It's time that we get all dressed up. It's time that we put on everything that God has for us. And remember what I read out of the book of Acts. You will receive power. Power. When the Holy Spirit has come on you. You'll be my witness wherever you go. Can't help it. Jeremiah said, it's like fire in my bones. I can't keep my mouth shut. I got to keep talking about him. You're going to be that way. See, that's the big choice. Do I want to be one of them Jesus freaks? Do I want to be someone who's one of them religious nuts? Yeah, I do. I do. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell people what he did for me. The change that he made in my life. And I don't want to just talk about it. I want people to see it. And the only way to do that is not be dressed up in the emperor's new clothes, but be dressed up in the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand. Lord, too long we've been parading around without that power. For too long we as Christians have just been doing what we want to do. Lord, we know now what we need is the church. And not just what we need is the church, but what our community needs. What our friends need, what our co-workers need. Father, what people just in the marketplace need. They need for us to be the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. They need us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They need us to be clothed in you. Help us to make that decision today, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.